This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Hi there, this is John Nelson with FamiliesRecover.org. We offer hope and support for families being torn apart by addiction, enabling healthy decision-making that leads to a productive and meaningful lives. You can reach us at 772-285-5828.
Welcome to Kingdom Recovery. This is a live, spirit-filled program where no matter what chains a person to a prison of hopelessness, such as alcohol, drugs, sex, or even feelings, God can and will break those chains. Kingdom Recovery is a cutting-edge program where we discuss God's Word through focused teachings, open discussion, and life-changing testimonies. Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Kingdom Recovery on WCNO 89.9, and my name is Luann Linekin, and I'm with the co-host
James Wrench.
James Wrench, and we have been discussing step one, and we're at closure of step one today, which is how it relates to the Word of God, which is we admitted we were powerless over whatever storm is our way. Sinful, and how our sinful behaviors are trying to handle this and be the solution, which it can never. And our life has become unmanageable. So we're talking about that and how it relates to God's word and what scriptures are actually describing that, you know, like helping us through that step. And Kingdom Recovery is about, you know, practical knowledge of how to apply God's word as it relates to, I guess, cognitive behavior therapy and 12-step programs and things like that. And I will say self-help groups, but it's really, self-help is really more selfish. It's really self-discovery, discovering who we are in Christ, not self-help, because we can't help ourselves and no one can help me except for Jesus Christ. Right, James? So in that confession of admitting that we're powerless over whatever it is we're trying to use to be the solution to our situations that are causing unmanageability in our life, we have to get to a place where we actually accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. That's what step one is for me. That's how it was presented, because before I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I mean, I believed in a religious way that God was my higher power, but I didn't have a relational way of seeing Jesus Christ. I didn't have a relationship, so I was just believing in a very religious way, and he wasn't real to me as he is today. And that's the difference. So even though I was declaring, you know, God is my higher power, maybe even, you know, saying in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, saying that, but not knowing who the Father, who the Son, and who the Holy Spirit was and is in my life and could be in my life at that time, I know the difference. I know the difference between not having a relationship and being a part of, you know, programs and being a therapist, you know, a counselor myself, I'll say, going back to school and doing all the things that the world tells you, if you just, you know, do this and do that and your life will get better and you'll be happy. Yeah, life gets better, but that inner happiness was never fulfilled completely. And today I can say that putting Jesus as the center of my heart and the Holy Spirit and having a relationship with the Holy Spirit, I truly have happiness, even in sometimes very unhappy situations, you know, like it to the world, but the happiness in me doesn't go away, even though sometimes situations in our life doesn't seem very pleasant. Still have that peace inside, which is,
amen.
Yeah, which which is what I believe. I believe I was looking for my whole life, you know, that security, that love, that peace, that joy that surpasses all understanding. And I believe so many people, that's what we're born into searching for, because we lost him in the garden. We lost him in us in the garden, the Holy Spirit. So we're all have that empty God space in our heart that we're searching for him. And God is love. So we're looking for all different types of love that don't even compare to who he is. You know, they're temporary fixes. It's like putting a Band-Aid on something. And then, you know, every once in a while, you know, you jump in the water, the Band-Aid falls off. Mm-hmm. Or when you do take it off, the wound is not healed, because only God can heal it. Only Jesus.
Amen.
Right? So today we're going to be talking about faith, because going into step two is coming to believe that a power greater than myself can restore me to sanity, because my life has been unmanageable. And when I receive Jesus, when I accept Jesus Christ and then receive the Holy Spirit, I now have to come to a place where I believe what the Holy Spirit is going to start to reveal to me in Christ Jesus, in the Word. Jesus is the Word of God, in his Word, his will and testament, which is the Bible, right? So it's really important that if you're, that you have someone in your life, someone or a group of people that are walking with Christ also, that have walked before you, because the oil needs to come down, you know, on. So we call it sponsorship in 12-step programs. I call it discipleship, because that's really what it is. You want to get someone that's willing to disciple you. And what happens is then you become a disciple, because you know how to be discipled. Can't be a disciple unless you know how to be discipled. And disciple is very close to discipline, because that's what it takes. It takes understanding the Word. So knowing Jesus, right? And then we start to go into the understanding through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit teaches us the understanding. So we know Jesus, and now we receive the Holy Spirit, which will bring us to understanding, so that we can eventually walk in wisdom of God, the Father. Okay? So faith believes in my inheritance. That's what it is. When I'm walking by faith, I believe in the inheritance God has promised me in the Word of God. So I need to know what that is. What's God's will and testament? The Bible. The Bible reveals God revelation, what the promises are, what the spiritual laws are, what the king's decrees are, so that I can walk forward in healing, prosperity, freedom, liberty, forgiveness, love. All these things are promised to us. So if I don't know it, I can't grow in it, right? I can't grow those places in my heart, those gardens in my heart. So we ended last week at Romans 10:8-11, where we said a confession too, but it says, but what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim, which is Jesus Christ is the Messiah. He died and resurrected for us, for our sins, right? If you declare, which means accept with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe, which means approve, agree, believe. Remember last week we talked about be, live, leave in agreement with God's word. In your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. And it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. So your heart makes you pure of heart. It makes you justified, just as you haven't sinned, right? So that you can be in God's presence. But your heart, it's a repentive heart that God's looking for. Okay, it doesn't mean we're perfect. I mean, when I say perfect, I mean perfect in the natural sense. Perfect spiritual growth is what God's looking for. But perfect in the natural, we all are sinners, and we all, as we walk by faith, we don't have to sin. That's what happens to our heart. Our heart chooses, makes better choices, right? We don't go by our senses anymore, our natural senses. We go by our spiritual senses, and we walk by faith. And we'll get more deeper into that too. So justified is forgiven. God, we have a forgiving heart. We are forgiven, and we get to forgive. We are loved and we get to love because God gives it to us first. Okay? And it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and it's saved. As scripture says, everyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. And that means dishonor, disgrace, humiliation, discredit, unacceptable. You know, if we believe, accept, and agree and are willing to walk in God's word in faith, by faith, right? That's the only way we could do it. So I have to know what I'm faithing in. What am I hoping for? Because hope is things that we can't see, right? So what is faith? It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, by faith, the elders obtain a good testimony. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were made of things which are visible. So, and that's in Hebrews 11, 1 through 6, okay? So by faith, we understand. This is where understanding starts to come into our lives. We get knowledge and then understanding, then wisdom, the action of understanding. So knowledge is accumulating the information. Understanding is comprehending the information. But if I don't comprehend in my heart first and believe in my heart, right, it's going to be very hard to manifest that outside, because as we speak, it says it reveals our heart. So if I'm speaking negative or against God's word, then my heart's not there yet. And, you know, it's like when we say the sinner's prayer. There are many people that declare or proclaim Jesus as their Lord and Savior, but in the heart, it's a heart matter. There's doubt. There's unbelief. There's all that going on. So it's a battle. So they're not really walking by faith. They're walking in unbelief. So although they may claim, myself too, included in the beginning, I still had a lot of areas of my life where I was an agnostic, an atheist, an unbeliever. What we say, a Gentile. And I had to come into the truth. And it's the truth that makes us free. Okay? It's truth, and the word is truth. So the more we get into the word, the more time we spend with God and people who are doing the same thing. You know, we want to be like-minded around people that are like-minded, people that can sharpen my dull blade. Sometimes I have a dull blade and I need iron sharpens iron, right? So I need someone else speaking the word over me sometimes, to me, at me, with me, for me. So faith believes in my inheritance, and that's God's will and testament. That's being in agreement with God's thoughts, ideas, imagination, his heart, his desires, it's his testament, it's his assets, it's his covenants, it's his principles, directions to access property in the kingdom. That's what faith is. It allows me access. But if I don't believe, I can't get in. Because sometimes unbelief comes two ways. One, because I choose not to believe, or two, because I've never been exposed to it. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, are we reading stuff and still doubting? That's purposeful unbelief, basically. If I've never seen it, no one's ever showed it to me, then that's living in unbelief. That's ignorance.
Yeah, I was gonna say,
you know, ignorance. Yeah, praise the Lord. So what is faith? It's the how to handle every situation in your life. God's faith is revelation of his word, who he is. Jesus is your Lord and Savior. His word is truth, believing for your inheritance. James, do you want to say something?
Well, just when you're in praying for people, there's a pray for a lot of people that don't know, you know, mm-hmm. you're like in the mall or whatever, and they're
amen.
Shocked when they're healed. But so they definitely didn't believe, but he prayed for some people, and you can feel a skeptic,
mm-hmm.
critical, like against it. They're the ones that'll sound alarm. Oh, that's not passed away or whatever. And that will block healing.
Right. Right. You know what? I want to read something. I wrote something before I got here about counterfeit synthetic faith, religious faith, believes if you have enough faith, God will do it, right? Name it and claim it kind of faith, you know? And then there's biblical, godly faith, which believes because God said it and did it, right? I will walk in it. So there's two different mindsets there because I already have it. I've already received it. So as I walk, it manifests because I believe it. And that's the difference. That's revelation of God's will, his word, and the Holy Spirit. Believing, you know, the Holy Spirit, you have to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit so the Holy Spirit can minister to you. He's going to reveal the mysteries that are in the word. God's not going to reveal to the enemy, people that are go against him, the rebels, his mysteries. It's like the king giving the plans of the battle to the enemy. Here, give this to the enemy. He's not going to do it. So he's only going to give it to those who he can trust because they trust him too. Right, James?
Yes.
Amen.
That's what I'm saying. I forget what it's...
Okay, it'll come to you. So when we want to handle our situations, it's God's faith is revelation in his word. It's wisdom. It's actually going out. So we get knowledge, we get understanding, and that's the comprehension. And that's the step two is really about that. It's we come to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. And that's the unmanageability that we were living in step one. Jesus comes in. And he cleans us. He makes us pure. He gives us an opportunity, right? If we choose to follow him. And the Holy Spirit comes in us. We invite the Holy Spirit to come in our hearts and dine in us and lead us and guide us. And if you haven't done that, take the opportunity right now to invite the Holy Spirit to come into your heart, into your life, and to invade the areas of your mind that maybe are still in darkness or ignorance, or maybe that you don't even have revelation yet, and ask him for that. You know, we lack because we don't ask, right?
We have not because we, right.
Amen. So start asking. He wants us to ask. It's like a father wanting us to ask him for, things. He wants to give. He's a giver.
He likes to ask. Has to ask everything.
Everything.
I ask him 100 times a day where tools are.
Yeah.
He usually shows me.
Yeah, that. Amen. Amen.
But some people are like, oh, God's too busy. I run into that. I'll like ask him and pray for somebody. Oh, he's got bigger things to do. Like he can do all that stuff while he heals you. That
ain't
nothing.
Amen. Right. And he always told me a long time ago in my heart that it's always in the little things. It's just invite him in every minute of. You know, sometimes I'm looking for not the same thing, or I want to know. I'm reading today. It happened. I was reading a scripture over and over. I'm like, I don't know. Holy Spirit, you got to reveal this to me because I can't get it. I can't understand what this is saying. And all of a sudden, as I'm reading, it's like, wait, whoa. I started to understand it. I'm like, yes, you know, but that little turn to invite him in to say, I'm not getting it. And then he reveals to you. He likes that. It's like, you know, I love when my kids call me. I love when my kids invite me. You know, my daughter wants me to be in the birthing room when she's giving birth. That's so exciting to me. You know, it's just those moments when people include you that you can get a glimpse of God's heart, what it feels like for him, you know, when it excites you. Even if it's a friend or, you know, anyone, it doesn't only have to be a child. But people, when they invite you into their home or it's a party, I mean, that's the way God feels about us when we're inviting him into all those places in our life.
Yeah, it says the natural man cannot understand spiritual things.
That's right. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Amen. Amen. So invite the Holy Spirit in everything. So God's revelation, God's faith is revelation of his word. Okay. We want God kind of faith, knowledge of conviction that his word is the only truth to walk in, on, and through. His word is truth. When you know that, no matter what's going on, then you'll know the ending. You have victory over it, or you have healing, or you, even if it, you know, love, there's parts of love that are uncomfortable, but true love is long-suffering. True love is patient, tolerant. I mean, these are tough words, you know? And when we're not in those things, we're not in true love. Sometimes Amen. We have to practice those things in order to stay in love. All right. Even in first, God wants us to practice with ourselves first so that we can recognize when we're not practicing with another person.
One of the best books you can read is Kenneth Hagin, Love Your Way to Victory.
Amen. Yes.
Because it
That's
really
a great book.
Shows sensual love versus godly
right.
love. And it's everybody's got a mixture.
That's right. Because
and godly people born. Still have a mixture and don't
Amen.
Realize it.
Right. But the beautiful thing is we can recognize it. It doesn't mean we won't be tempted or that it won't, you know, sometimes appear in situations.
I'm just saying when they read, it really brings
That's what
it
I'm
to
saying.
Life.
That's why it's important. Yeah, I love that book because it's not only a book, it's like a textbook. You can open it from any page and learn something, which is really good. And you can use it over and over again, you know. So it's the same thing like the big book. I believe God divinely inspires certain literature outside of his word is the ultimate literature. It's his word. It's a conversation with God himself. But it's nice sometimes to hear how God talks to other people, you know what I mean? And how they manifest stuff, that revelation knowledge for God in their books. There are many books. I'm reading one now. Very good. So, but as long as it has scripture references, if it doesn't, I don't get it caught up in books that are just information. I don't need more information like that. I need scriptural information, scriptural revelation, you know. So his word is truth. Faith is the basic ingredient to begin a relationship with God. Faith is the assurance that the things revealed and promised in the word are true, even though unseen, and gives the believer a conviction that what he expects in faith will come to pass. So to have faith in God is to make a practical commitment. It's a covenant, a marriage, a union, an action. You have to make some kind of practical, an action with him. The actual doing or use of something rather than the theory or idea. You can't just think faith. You got to believe in your heart and walk faith out. Faith is an action word. But you can't work for faith. That's the difference. Faith motivates. If you believe in your heart, your body wants to move towards it because it knows what's there.
That's the key. Believe in your heart.
Amen. Amen.
Not mental assent.
Right. So the kind involving trusting in God is the kind of faith we're talking about. The root meaning of in Greek is pistis, which is faith and trust. It means to be persuaded, firm conviction. This then is a model of faith as trust understood, not simply as an effective state of confidence. Faith is an action, okay? Faith motivates. If you're not feeling motivated by God's word, then maybe there's something going on. And you can talk to God about it. Talk to the Holy Spirit and see what's blocking you. Because it's exciting when it should be exciting. You know, so it also means amen, A-M-A-N, A-M-A-N, amen. And it's to confirm, be faithful, rather than a passive intellectual belief, trust and reliability in action in your faith, agreement, a firmness. Okay, that's what it means. So some examples of faith. In Galatians 2:16, it says, now that a person is not justified, know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Christ Jesus, in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, because by the works of the law, no one will be justified. So salvation is only through faith in Jesus Christ. As it is written in Romans 3:20, it says, therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of our sin. So the law is just to reveal what side of the fence we're on, basically, if we're on the wrong side. It's to expose ungodly behavior. It's not to build our faith, okay? When building our faith is by hearing the word. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. That's how we build in our faith. And the more, because what happens is the more you hear the word, the more revelation you'll get, the more you believe. And then you can walk, because that in that, you see, I the only way I can explain it, we have natural faith. We're born with faith, right? We talked about this. We have faith in the things around us, certain things that I believe, like the light's going to change and those people are going to stop. That's, you know, faith. There's a level of faith.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's learned faith. You know, I believed in the beginning that if I did drugs, I'd get ease and comfort. I faithed in that. And I did it. And I chased it. And I chased it. And I chased. It was false faith. But it was still faith
mm-hmm.
in the wrong thing. I was believing with all my heart. You see how it works? So you could believe with all your heart in the wrong thing. So we want to renew our mind. Because it's in the renewing of the mind that we can get the transformation in the heart that we need. All right? The soft heart, godly heart. You want to say something?
I did, and it left me.
It'll come back.
I just started thinking, what was I going to say? You go, what did you point
it out? So believing is approving and agreeing with God's word, okay? That's what faith is. Believe it. I'm going to keep saying it because it's so important. There is a difference from our mouth accepting and our heart approving God's word. What? You got it?
I knew what it was. Yeah, it's just when you're talking about the laws.
Yeah.
Like, Satan became the god of this world when Adam turned it over to him. And the law and the covenants gave protection to man.
Amen. Amen.
And then
it was out of love.
Jesus came to bring the authority back to us, the Holy Spirit, and give us authority over the enemy.
Hallelujah. Because we do.
Still through obedience.
Yeah. We do have authority.
You're speaking tongues all day long. If you got sin in your life, the enemy's open door.
Mm-hmm. That's right. So Hebrews 11:1, I'll say it again. Faith shows the reality of what we hope for. Okay. It's how we speak. You know, your eye could be popped out, but you could say, I'm healed. That's what we're talking. That's dramatic, but that's what we're saying. You know, it's like when all my CAT scans and testing and biopsies was showing one thing, and I kept saying, I'm healed. And they were looking at me like, and then when it manifests, they were happy. They were like, yeah, this is a miracle. You know, it was a miracle. And sometimes it was, you know, it's for other people. Our miracles are for other people's. Actually, it should be. Praise the Lord. We get benefits from them, but like anything else.
I'm thinking of a lady that Wigglesworth prayed for that had the goiter.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, I'm healed. And then the next year he came back into that town. He says, anybody was healed last year? And she ran up there and gave her testimony. And when she got home, her family like ripped her to pieces. Can't you see that goiter still on your neck? We look like the biggest idiots in the town. You're making us all look like idiots, this whole family. When she went to bed that night, she said, Lord, I know you healed me, and you know you healed me. Would you please tell my family you healed me?
Amen.
When she woke up the next morning, it was gone.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's so good. Yeah, and you know what? I kind of feel like that because don't get me wrong. There were days that I was upset, and it was a travel. You know, I had to take a journey. But in my heart, I believed him. You know, but I would fall into the trap of, well, maybe there is, you know, and it was a battle. But I stood on that, especially when I spoke with my family, because there were certain things that they would have never understood because of my faith. So I had to really take direction from God in that and go against some things that I would today do differently, you know, because I know that they believe now that, you know, God, you know. I do, you know, hear from him, like mm-hmm. I follow him. So they wouldn't be so like, you have to do chemo, you're going to die, mm-hmm. you know, because in my mind, I wanted to test my faith. But at that moment, it was more about my family seeing who God is. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, and you know the story, James, after the third, fourth session of chemo, they had to stop because it was getting worse.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really important for my family. That's where faith really, really, because I kept, I mean, they were telling me experimental drugs. There was nothing they can do. And my family, my mother flew in. It was just, it was really a different, you know, like that was it. And then, you know, having the turnaround and them seeing it is the miracle. Like, you know, like they know, like, you know, like they ask for prayer. And even my sister, you know, like she's like, she tells people, she'll pray for you. I'm like, Ro, you could pray too. The Holy Spirit's in you also, you know. So, I mean, that's the glory of God, because I'll tell you, I'm telling everybody listening, I'll tell you all this. When I first got, when I got sober, I was considered I'm going to say a white sheep in my family when I was younger, because there was always something a little peculiar about me, right? And they noticed, and then I went it off the deep end, you know, like I took it to the next level of drugs and alcohol and sex and all the stuff. So I was always that little outcast there. And then I'm the first person in my family to get sober and have a whole different thinking and outlook. And they thought like, oh my God, she's going to start like talking about the family, all our secrets. Yeah. So I was the white sheep over there too, you know, even though I was doing a positive thing. And I know I'm speaking to somebody right now. And then years later, everybody's like, okay, all right, she's not doing that. Everybody's getting okay. Then I get born again. Now I was on a whole other level again. They were like, oh my gosh, she's going to start knocking out our doors, trying to convert us, you know? And there it was again, the white sheep. So be the white sheep. It's okay. Oh, we went on a little tangent. So I'll read it again. Hebrews 11:1, it says, faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence, the conviction of things we cannot see. This is a description of what faith does. Faith treats things hoped for as a reality. Okay. So that's the faith part of the hope. See, when I thought for sure there was no way. I couldn't even think of my day without the way I was living. You know what I'm saying? Like without drugs or, I mean, I didn't know how I would do it, you know? But when I had my first day without it, that was my first day of hope. Like, oh my God. I felt, you know, when you line up with God's word, whether you receive him as your Lord and Savior, you still experience in the natural his blessings. Okay. So I made a decision to be of sound mind, sober minded from alcohol and drugs. And I got some benefits of relief of, you know, no more guilt, no more shame in that area. I'm not going to say in other areas because I had a lot of that in other areas, but in that area, I can actually like, you know, show up. I mean, those were benefits of just when he says, be of sound mind, you know, of that, even if it was in that one little area of my life, I was receiving the promises. The difference is they weren't eternal promises for me. They were just for this time, for that situation, you know? So.
But God loves showing himself to people that don't know him.
Yeah.
I got to pray for a Jewish guy in my shop that brought Eddie over to get his bicycle fixed.
Oh, amen. How is Eddie?
Eddie's been tremendous.
That's amazing.
Several years.
Yeah. God bless him.
The guy's back was hurting, and you know.
Yeah.
So I took him in. You know, I'm like, you know the Lord? It don't matter to me if you do or not. That's what I told him. It's like I just want to know. Because it changes how I pray a little. He says, well, I don't know Jesus. He was Jewish. And so I prayed anyway. His leg grew out.
Amen.
Didn't press Jesus on him, though, but I prayed in Jesus' name so he could see. And he gave him a bunch of testimonies afterwards. And Eddie was telling him how he couldn't work out a year and a half because he had a torn tendon. Mm-hmm. That's how he met me. Somebody brought him to church to pray for him.
Amen.
I think you knew that, Susan.
Yeah.
That's how I came to our church.
Well, praise God. So faith proves that what is unseen is real, as real. It proves that, okay? And by faith, we understand, we become aware of our divine purpose, too. You know, because that's where the revelation of who I am is in me, right? So your faith is based on your relationship with God, the more you know he loves you and he protects you and he supplies for you, the more you can walk by faith.
And faith is believing his promises.
That's right. So yes and amen.
Believing his scripture. I mean, if you hear something and you know you hear him, if you're used to hear him and you know it's him, that's one thing. Two, that would be faith believing him like Abraham. You didn't read that. God spoke to him, you know, and yeah. He believed God and it's counted him in the faith. So faith is not, some people just believe they can believe anything, totally non-scripture things. And, you know,
yeah,
faith is believing God's promise. So you need to read the word and see your promises, see your inheritance, see your testament. This is our inheritance.
Yeah. And faith, it really, godly faith is, like we were talking earlier, is a heart matter. It's knowing in your heart, no matter what's going on, nothing's going to waver it. It's standing, faith is standing on solid ground, even though it's a storm, you know?
Yeah. And if you don't know the enemy,
the rock
speaks to everybody. Yeah. You have a little trouble there too, because half your thoughts aren't your own when you're standing in faith and you're hearing all this
right.
negative stuff in your head. But
can't go by your
heart
head.
Matter.
Amen. 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 Don't listen to your mind.
Because you can believe in your heart, doubt in your mind, and get healed.
That's right.
You can't believe in your mind and doubt in your heart.
Amen.
And get healed.
That's right. That's really
That's
important. Say matter. That again, James.
You can believe in your heart and doubt in your head and get healed.
Amen.
But you can't believe in your head
That's right.
and doubt in your heart and get healed.
Right.
So that's what, like, people do, that mental ascent thing.
Yeah, that's like working for faith. You can't do it. It's the same kind of concept. You have the faith, and then you'll be motivated to work it out with God.
Remember, you know? I led, this guy came to the Lord. He's like 17, and when we're doing Bible studies over there, me and Betty, back when she first came.
Uh-huh.
But he was just saying how he was believing he was going to make this thing move across the table, and it wouldn't move, and he didn't, you know. I'm like, that's all mental ascent.
Mm-hmm. So Romans 10:16 says, so then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So the only way we can get faith ears, faith heart, a godly ears is through his word. Faith is trust that grows in you by obedience to the word of God. The more you surrender and agree, believe, to his word, his will, his desires, the more trust and believing in Jesus, the easier it will be to apply Jesus, the solution, the word of God, to all your affairs. You will spiritually grow in the kingdom of heaven. You spiritually grow as it is in heaven here on earth. You get to bring heaven here on earth. So the lifestyle, the decrees of the king, the government laws, all these things that God, the promises, the yes, the amen, the prosperity, the resources, everything that heaven has to offer through faith can be drawn. You can lift your hands by faith and praise and worship him, giving thanks, right? And honor releases, praise the Lord. And you will receive the supply for what you need, what he's choosing to do here on earth, to bring heaven here on earth. You're the vessel. You're the connector. Holy Spirit's in the center of you, and he's connecting your head and your feet. Hallelujah.
God moves through people.
Amen. So, and Christ is the higher power.
He set
Jesus
it up
Christ.
That way because he wants fellowship with us.
Yes, he did.
It's his love for us. So he set it up where he moves through people, not standing up there just moving where he wants to move the pieces of the puzzle. And the devil has to move through people. That's why he works in people's heads to make them do all this evil stuff going on. So we need to bring the kingdom of God forth.
That's right. That's the whole point.
Yes.
Amen. This is an extension of the kingdom. That's why he created the earth. That's why he created us. Before the fall, his heart desire was to have an extension of who he is in us here on earth, as it is in heaven here on earth. And Jesus came to fulfill the punishment of sin, so that we can get back in that position, our position with God, so that we can bring heaven here on earth. Okay? And it's so important. And that's why he needed to be a man, because God gave us power and authority. God could not do it without a human vessel. and he needed someone pure from him directly. Holy Spirit impregnated Mary. We'll talk about that too. To fulfill the consequence, the sacrifice.
Oh God, the Word.
Yeah.
Decided to come down and get
the Word,
into
the Word.
Mary.
Yes. Amen. Okay. So the believers of the Bible, both Old and New Testament, received God's approval. He considered them righteous because of their faith. The same thing with us. We are his saints and righteousness by faith. Okay? God made us righteous. Amen. So let me see. Where are we? What do I want to read next? Because I have two different things that are important here. So we cannot save ourselves. No human power could. But there is one that could, and that one is God, right? And this is part of our big book information, literature. May you find him now. Our only hope, desire for a certain thing to happen is faith, which is complete trust and confidence in Jesus, right? The word of God is the only thing that can save us. It says that there is no human power. We need divine intervention. We have a spiritual malady, which needs a spiritual solution. And we can, listen, we have a spiritual malady and we have been using spiritual solutions demonically. We need the one true love spiritual solution, which is Christ in me, the hope of glory, the Holy Spirit. Okay? So no matter what, our whole lives, my whole life, I was seeking to fill that God hole, and I was the demons were, I was giving them permission legally because I was going against God in my behaviors, in my words, in my thoughts. And that gave a legal right to the enemy to come in and have unforgiveness, addiction, fornication, homosexuality. All these things were in my life, okay? Because I was looking for love in all the wrong places. And today I found him. And I invited him to live in my heart. And you can too, everyone listening. So, but the thing is, when I'm feeling unease, diseased, that means I'm not going to him. I'm not applying him in that part of my discomfort, my unmanageability. There should be no, I'm not saying things don't get complicated at time, but you can still have that ease and comfort through it all. And that's what we're talking about, that how your heart position, not your head position. Your head wants to get tossed to and fro sometimes. But if your heart position is right, if you stay in the center, in that spiritual center in Christ, your heart will minister to your mind. Okay? It's the Holy Spirit. So let me just read. So Jesus is the who to receive the how, the Holy Spirit. Without Jesus, we can't even receive the Holy Spirit. All right? The Holy Spirit power. It's the power greater than ourselves that can bring us to sanity, relieve us. Philippians 2:9-11 says, therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So right there is the confession of Jesus is my Lord and Savior. And that's the whole point of, I believe, step one. You know, that's the way it was revealed to me. Everything started to make sense once I got scripture inside my spirit. Once I started feeding my spirit scripture, things started, every slogan, even things that happened in my life, God brings it they were mysteries to me, like, why did this happen? He'll bring the clarity. He brings the clarity and you get to see it. And that's when the peace comes in that surpasses all understanding, because you're like, oh, that makes sense. Or that's when you can forgive. That's when you can accept. That's when, you know, you can move forward. You get liberty. That's when you can feel justified in certain things because, you know, meaning you, the guilt and the shame and the remorse because you know he forgives you. Hallelujah.
So the Holy Spirit always glorifies Jesus.
Yes.
Amen. And I don't want to get on, I'm not trying to go on a bunny trail, but there's other modalities to healing that get into supernatural energy and stuff that did not glorify Jesus because
Amen.
From another spiritual realm. So
that's right.
Yes.
Because we're looking at, this is important, James, because we are looking for, we don't know we're looking for a spiritual malady because we're a spiritual solution because we're spiritually sick. We don't even know that. We say these things, spirit, soul, and body. We want to do these meditations and we're all seeking it, but we're seeking it in the wrong places. And that's what I'm saying, because even drugs, if you think about it, they're hallucinogens. They're, you know, they you can go into, you know, territories. You know, alcohol is a stimulant, you know, a depressant, I'm sorry. And it makes you lose your, you know, your stability, you know, takes you out of yourself. You know, sex, these things, gambling, unforgiveness, fear, they all are spiritual, which either stimulants or tranquilizers. How's that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, mood altering substances, basically. Spiritual substances. And so the only thing that's gonna counter or help it is a spiritual solution. But the thing is, when we're broken and when we're not saved, first of all, we don't even have access to the things of heaven, right? Then we get saved and we're still searching for the worldly things to fix it. And we're
not speaking more of the supernatural
and the supernatural things of like yoga. Yeah, let's go there.
Psychedelics. You know, and there's certain things you'll see because a lot of people see Jesus in that.
Of course.
It's not the real Jesus.
It's not. No, he comes as the angel of light. Correct. And
no coincidence, so many people see him doing that.
Right. That's right.
Enemy's doing.
I mean, it's like all these, even the religions, you know, holistic, all the stuff is dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
It's very dangerous. So it's important. There's only one Holy Spirit.
Amen. And he glorifies Jesus.
That's how you know. All right.
Now you go to a psychic, they'll have Jesus pictured there a lot. You know, a lot of occult stuff says Jesus is one of many ways. They just don't say he's the only way.
Right. And so you just
don't understand the blood at all.
The only truth, the only way, the only life.
By Jesus, only the real Jesus that casts demons out there.
Amen.
You'll find out real quick.
Amen. Matthew 1:21 says, "And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Okay, so it's only in the name of Jesus. He is the higher. He's seated at the highest place. And the power, Christ, Jesus Christ, the Christ in him, the Christ in us, the hope of glory, the Holy Spirit, the higher power. Makes so much sense, right? I don't know what I was thinking. I was just telling James before the show. I'm like, I really don't know what, you know, it wasn't real. I don't know. I was saying God, you know, is my higher power, but I don't know what I was, you know, what it was. Not really a relationship. It was just me doing it, you know, like doing the steps and doing book knowledge, you know, like, you know, all that stuff. Anyway.
Praise God you're here.
Amen. Amen. So the angel revealed to Joseph that the miraculous conception in Mary is from the Holy Spirit of God, who will take away the sins of the world and will be named Jesus. A fulfillment of prophecy in Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel. Praise the Lord. So Isaiah 9:6-7 says, "For a child is born." And this is just to close out step one, because if you don't recognize Jesus on this rock, the faith that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, Jesus is the Christ, he died, rose again, and he's the only life, he's the only way, he's the only truth, then you're on unstable ground. And if you can't, you move on to the next step. That's why I kept hitting that brick wall, because I was still on unstable ground. Mm-hmm. You know, I get relief in that category for a little bit, but then I find myself in therapy saying, I don't know, I don't understand it, you know? So for a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor. And wonderful is miracles. I want to separate that, because miracle counselor is a person able to stand before kings and leaders to give advice and wisdom. Mighty God, and that means those who see him, see the Father, hallelujah, everlasting Father. He and his Father are one, and Prince of Peace. Christ will cause all war to cease individually in our spirit, mind, and bodies, also in our lives, with others, and in the world, and end times. So we recognize him as the only one. So his government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's army will make this happen. When the Messiah, King of Israel, comes, he will have the five names that Jesus' life, death, resurrection confirms this scripture to be the truth. Ephesians 2, 4, 5 says, but God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, I was the walking dead. Even though I was walking around. I used to feel like life was like that. Or like this was purgatory. Yeah. He gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. There is no other way. Okay? I know that we have some great, like we were even talking, like, you know, some great resources, but they are the resource. They are not the source. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's okay to go to, you know, like church, fellowship, discipleship, sponsor, preachers, teachers. God gave us all these things. But remember, he's the source. You want to go to the source. They are resources. Therapy, you know, 12-step programs, rehabs. There's nothing wrong with going to them, but go to God first. And in all of it, have him lead and guide you and teach you. So believers ought to change their position from darkness, from sin and ignorance, to walking in the light of righteousness in truth towards a mutual relationship, a connection with Christ. We need to be connected to Christ, and that's through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit always leads us to Jesus, like James is saying. If you're not, if somebody's talking to you and they're not leading you to Jesus, you know, it might just be them just talking to you. People that you're choosing to be your elders, your leaders, the people that are pouring into you, should be in everything when you call them talking about Jesus Christ, his word, what he would do, what he says about that situation. So when I believe who Jesus Christ is, or anyone here, right, the only truth, the way, and the life of freedom, then the how, and that's the power and authority, power, the ability to manage my life in love, peace, and joy, right? Then I get the how that I have been seeking my whole life. How do I get out? How did I get in this? How do I get out of this? How do I do that? How do I? We're always asking these questions. The Holy Spirit is the ability to be able to do that. He gives us the power to step on serpents, heal the sick, all the things. But our faith is what motivates us to do it. We have to believe in our hearts, okay? That I've been seeking for my whole life. I can receive all the kingdom of heaven benefits. Everything that God promises in the word is ours, is yours. Listening here right now, it's all for you to lambano, receive, take. But it's only by faith that you can walk in them and you can talk in them, you know, and think about them, meditate on them. And only then will you know how to walk out your life in him. So your identity, who he says, who do you say I am? He's asking you, if I am in you and we are one, then I am who you are. So if he is love, then you should be the image and likeness of love. John 20, 30, 31 says, the disciples saw Jesus do many other miraculous signs in addition to the ones recorded in this book, but these are written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, and that means agreeing in your heart, in him, you will receive life by the power, the Holy Spirit, of his name. The authority is in his name, power and authority over your life. He wants, but you have to give him permission. He's not going to invade you, and unwillingly, you have to be in agreement. You want to surrender your life to him. So John writes that the purpose of this book is to convince his readers, that's you and me, so we want to read, you know, you should read John. If you want to know about Jesus, read John. It's a great book to start, you know, and then you get to know him more intimately, and let him take you on a journey in love. Let him reveal himself more and more to you through the Holy Spirit. Will do it. He'll reveal Christ in you, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. Right, James?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So with that, let me see, is there anything else that we can finish? Because then we're going to start in, so power and authority is ours in our life if we choose to surrender our life and follow his way, his will, his purpose and plan for our life. Every one of you listening right now has a plan and a purpose that God has designed for you to live out. You need to go to him. You want to go to the creator of who you are to tell you the directions of how to work out what he's putting in you, your gifts and talents, because that you were created with a purpose and he wants to reveal himself to you. All right. So if you haven't received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, just confess him as your Lord and Savior. Invite him in your heart to live. Acknowledge that you're a sinner and that you need him to say to be with you, and that his resurrection is what gave you righteousness and forgiveness and purity, and you want to move forward. And just invite him to come into your heart. Read John this week. It's a great book to start if you don't know where to start in the Bible. That's a great, the four Gospels are always good. Go ahead, James.
Yeah, John and then the book of Acts.
Amen. Amen. So we agape you. Shalom, shalom.
Romans 12:2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Tune in again next Friday at 5 p.m. to hear and experience another level of God's transforming power, where the truth makes you free. For more information about Kingdom Recovery, I can be reached at 631-745-7980.
All the glory to the God of love. All the glory to the God of love. Do you feel the world is broken? Do you feel the shadow? But do you know that all the dark won't stop the light from getting through? Do you wish that you could see it all made new? Is all created? Is the glory of the Lord to be the light within our midst? Is it good that we